So this is our first show of the year. It's the second week of January. We're in Terre Haute. We always miss the first week because there's so much going on in Columbus where I think any mayor would be really hard to meet on January 2nd or 3rd. Yeah. So happy again to be here in 2017. Thanks for having us. I hope you had a good holiday and a happy new year.
It was all good. So it wasn't long enough, but you know, it was very good this year. I got a couple of days off, which I don't normally get to do. And it was very enjoyable.
Good, good. You know, I looked back a year ago and you were excited to start off 2016 with a fresh start, getting some new council members, you said up to speed, and then tackling the city's budget deficit. Mm-hmm. And now here it is a year later. How do you feel about what you said a year ago?
Well, we did what we said we were going to do. And so we had a balanced budget for last year, and it looks like we came in that way as we finish and look at final results of 16. We were able to get that trash fee implemented, and we were also able to get a sewer rate increase implemented later in the year that will position us for 17. And so the trash fee helped us with 16 and beyond, and the sewer rate increase then will help us from 17 and beyond. Both critical things to keep moving and staying in compliance with planning and making sure we continue to have a balanced general fund budget. And so the things that we wanted accomplished, we did, and I just feel really good about that.
And so here we are in the start of 2017. What are those objectives now to kind of kick off the year?
Well, I think, you know, there's a couple things that are going on. One, and we're wrapping up 16, so there's a tremendous amount. People just don't understand how much financial work there is to go back and make sure everything is 100% correct as we prepare for our State Board of Accounts audit that we do every year, and make sure that we met all of our goals. So we go back and look at all of our financial goals in the different departments and different areas to make sure that we did what we said we were going to do and what tweaks we need to make for 17 in order to get there if we didn't for some reason. Some areas we exceeded, I know for a fact. So there's some good success stories and a few things we still need to work on, but it gives you that opportunity to kind of let's frame it up here and see. Then on our project side of things, it's we know what projects that we're going to be rolling out this year, so it's to ensure that all of our engineering work is done, you know, all of our permitting is done, we're ready to roll it out with the contractor and get it done in the shortest time frame that we can, because anytime we're doing road projects primarily, it creates an issue for the community, and so we want to make sure we start it when all of our resources are ready to go and we end it as quickly as we can. So we're kind of going through that planning process right now too when it comes to paving and sidewalks and in our larger projects.
Here in January, how does the budget look in terms of the amount to get you through these next few months?
Well, you know, we don't have a lot of reserves. You know, we've been talking about this for several years now, and so we have to position ourselves with the tax anticipation warrant again, and then we can do some internal borrowing to get us there. Each year over the last couple of years, it's been a little bit less of what we actually have to have. And with the new laws with redevelopment funds, there's some things we need to do there and go and get a loan from the council in order to make that happen. So we're kind of going through that legwork right now and positioning ourselves so then we won't have to worry about it again until next year.
What about city council? What are some of the areas that they're going to have to take a look at or tackle, or at least you hope so, this start of the year?
Well, I guess right now we get the tax anticipation warrant has to be approved and then a loan from the Redevelopment Commission, so we'll be able to access some of those funds throughout the year as they're needed, and then once again pay all that back in December. And so it's very inexpensive borrowing for us to kind of get us through those lean times. As I said, each year then we have less and less we need to borrow because we'll begin to have reserves build up. We have a deficit in the general fund we have to deal with, but many of our other funds are doing great. It's just by law, we have to have cash for the general fund. And so that's what this is all about. That's really the two things we've got on the agenda for this year that are both happening kind of right now, one in January and one in February. They both may end up being done in February, but we've done all the other things. We don't need to be talking about any new revenue this year, anything like that. So, it's really just business, I guess, just normal business.
You know, the swearing-in ceremony was Monday at the State House for the new governor, and of course many other state leaders. As a veteran city leader here in Terre Haute, what are you looking for, keeping an eye out there in the State House as they begin the 2017 legislative session?
Well, there's always some unknowns when you have a new administration coming in. I would not expect much change in anything that the House or the Senate's doing. So I think the legislature will be pretty fairly predictable. They've talked about road funding. That's good. We're good with that. And they'll continue to work on some of those other kinds of things that I really appreciate and want them to work on. From the administration side, I wouldn't expect any radical changes. I think rolling out the 5 points that Governor Holcomb did the other day all sound like things that make perfect sense to local communities that will help us tremendously to, you know, get our workforce up to speed where it needs to be. Really focus on those new industries, those new manufacturing opportunities, bring them to Indiana, road and infrastructure money. So all seems to be kind of aligned up with growing the state, which means then locally we'll grow. I had a chance to attend the inauguration yesterday, and just it's always exciting when you have a new administration coming in. And I just would expect Governor Holcomb to be probably more like Governor Daniels than Governor Pence, but just more, you know, pragmatic in a way that he's just got this plan, he's going to go do it, and they're all things that make really great sense for local communities.
And then, you know, as you know, it all comes down to funding all of these and coming up with the money, and now they're talking about a lot of tax increases or fees for vehicles to be able to get that road funding. Do you think that's something they're going to be able to do?
Yeah, I think they're going to do something. There's no question. How much it ends up being, I guess that's the question. But at the end of the day, I'm a very conservative politician and manager of the city. I don't want, you know, any more taxes or any more fees than what you have to have. But you have to have revenue to be able to do things. And our roads are not in good shape. There's a lot of bridges that need to be replaced. You're talking about a lot of money. Our gas tax hasn't been raised in a long time. We've not kept up with the inflation and just the cost of doing business. People are driving less, cars are more efficient. So we have to make those changes and adjustments. Well, same thing locally here. You know, we needed a trash fee. We lost a lot of money through property tax dollars. You know, we don't get as much money in road funding unless they make these changes. So we can't do the things we need to do locally, or the state can't either, without revenue to do it. So what I really think is important, though, that you diversify those new revenue streams so no one segment of our society gets hit any harder than anybody else. You know, you've always going to have, you know, sales taxes and income taxes and gas taxes, they're not going anywhere. They're always going to be there, but you want to make sure that you don't hit any one group of people harder than anybody else.
You know, we do have an email come in from a Mac, and he wants to know about talking more about funding.
Uh-huh.
His question is, what is fiscally responsible, wise, or fair about your administration taxing the people more through various fees and that have gotten imposed, but not getting rid of 2 golf courses which operate in the red year after year that could be turned back over to the private sector?
Well, they can't necessarily be turned over to the private sector. Both of those golf courses, if we don't operate them as the city, they go back. One goes to Rose Holman, one goes back to the Holman family. So we don't get anything out of it. Yes, it would help us by reducing some draining of our funds for those 2 things. But once again, we made tremendous progress again to that this year. If we can get a company to come in and manage them for us and take all of that negativity away, so that way it won't cost us anything, then that's the perfect scenario. So I gave the Parks Department and the golf courses 3 years to get things turned around. We've just finished up that 3rd year. Now we're ready to go into the mode of looking at the RFP to see if we can get somebody to manage it. If we can't, we will have to make those drastic decisions. But you're talking about a few $100,000 a year as compared to losing $11 million a year. And so even if you didn't have the golf courses, it would be a drop in the bucket to the rest of the budget, because property tax caps. So people aren't being overtaxed. They're saving $11 million a year just with the city of Terre Haute every year that they're not paying in taxes, yet people expect the same level of services. So we'll continue to carve off those pieces. That's kind of what we're down to. We've made those other hard decisions.
And you could probably say the same about the city pool and a lot of many other things, but, you know, where's that line?
And in any community, your taxpayers support those kind of activities, whether it's a golf course, it's a pool, it's a trail system. You don't make any money off those things. They're an amenity that you offer the citizens, and we got to make sure that, I mean, the goal is to break even. I don't care if we make a dime off of it, but we need to break even.
You know, the city has seen a lot of growth in the student housing, too, this past year or so. How has those developments merged lately in those city resources, you know, parking, traffic? Has anything come up?
You know, not really. And that's interesting because everybody was so scared about the downtown development. It's really had a pretty negligible impact. There's parking's tight. It has been and will continue to be, but it's not, it didn't create any new problem that we can't deal with. And so as more come online though, you know, down the road, it may become more of an issue. So we're watching that closely. Once this new project on Cherry Street gets completed, we'll do another analysis of our parking downtown. We did one back in 15. We're gonna do one again probably in 18, and we'll see what has changed. We'll have, you know, there'll be three new housing projects, large ones. Another smaller one will be online too. So we'll take a look at that again, and we'll see what changes in our longer term planning.
You know, there's an interesting development in terms of a casino possibly coming to Terre Haute. Mm-hmm. I was wondering how much has the city been involved in those talks?
Been very involved. You know, they approached us from the beginning. Senator Ford did when he came up with this bill that is just now rolling out to become official. And they had a lot of conversations with whether we're, you know, made sense for us. Do they think it's a fit for Terre Haute? They didn't want to come here or try to come here if the community was going to be opposed to it. And so got great feedback from local elected officials. And since that time, they've talked to a lot of other groups and kind of rolling it out to a lot of people to see what are their thoughts. And it's all been positive. There's been a few negative things, of course, there always is, but 80%, 90% positive is related to this. So, you know, it's a great opportunity for us. Why not Terre Haute? If it's not going to be here, it may be somewhere else. Why should we give up the revenues for just because, you know, somebody thinks that's not a good fit? It will help us to become more of a destination than what we already are. We're a retail destination now, medical destination, education destination. What's wrong with having another alternative for people to come here for entertainment purposes? And then we benefit from it. There's no tax incentives, no TIF investment, no nothing on our part. Private vendor coming in, buying a piece of property, building a $150 million complex, and then we generate, you know, some tax revenue and new visitors, businesses will benefit. So, and not even dismissing in any way the 750 jobs that they'll have, full-time jobs, are great, big boost to our economy.
And I assume this hasn't gotten as far in terms of selecting a site or anything like
that. No, they're just looking at multiple sites. They need about 25, 30 acres, so they're looking at things around the city that might be able to accommodate that. The key will be if it gets through the Senate and then it gets through the House and it becomes law, then they'll move ahead very quickly on that. So it all hinges upon legislative approval.
A lot of moving parts right now.
Absolutely.
In that process.
But they're doing their due diligence and really trying to educate the community. They're going out and speaking to groups and just really saying, here's the things that we hear, here's the answers to those questions.
And I think the one thing that you might hear, that there is a negative connotation with casinos. There's, you know, gambling, there could be addiction associated with that. You have a major university, you know, in your downtown. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the statistics don't bear that out. What I'm told is, and I believe it's probably accurate, about 1% of gamblers are addicted to gambling. And they clearly shouldn't be gambling, but we all understand that. It's like any other type of addiction. You know, gambling is legal in Indiana. People from Terre Haute are traveling to casinos all the time. And, you know, these other communities benefit from our dollars going down to Evansville or French Lick or you name it. And so when you talk to the mayors and city councils or other community members, police chiefs, we're kind of reaching out to them right now, crime doesn't go up. You may have a few more people that might be addicted here locally that aren't now, and that's the goal of not only the casino, but locally in the state and our local mental health provider, is to make sure we have programs in place to not only identify those people, but get them plugged into a program. And so, you know, the casinos don't want those people in there either. I mean, it's not a good thing for them. Yeah, you know, they'll tell you, we're not trying to make money off these people to take advantage of them. They need help. We recognize that. We train our staff and we kick them out if we have to. I mean, it's the way it works. And so that's just something that comes along with it. It won't be a big issue, but it is an issue, and we need to be ready for it.
Is there a need for a casino in this part of the state? Would it survive?
Well, they believe that it would. You know, the analysis they done were 2 hours basically from any other casino from here, whether it's St. Louis or Evansville, French Lick, Shelbyville, Anderson. And people are traveling to go there now. Their thinking is, you know, you're going to draw Illinois people in here. You're going to draw people from Indianapolis because they'll have live tables here, which they don't have in Shelbyville and in Anderson. And so we're kind of right in the middle of a big unserved area. And so the people that live around here have to travel 2 hours to go to a casino. You know, so that's their thinking, their strategy, and that's how they're selling it to the legislature.
That's all I had. Was there anything else on your docket?
No, just excited for a new year. You know, it's always fun to kind of close out a year. We met a lot of our goals. I feel really good about that. We finally made some progress in financial perspective. You know, if we get a public safety load or a casino that comes in here, you know, our problems are history. And so it allows us to invest more back into the community instead of just delivering the basic services. That's where you get held back. We got to take care of people, but we also have to take care of all of our stuff that we have, whether it's a street or a park or whatever. I have to have funds to do that. And so in order to keep people here and draw them here, you have to have those amenities and you have to have good infrastructure. And so having a new revenue source then to address kind of our little bit of a gap that's left, eliminating the deficit is what it is, then we're going to have funds to be able to invest in ourselves. And that's really an exciting place to be.